אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Absolutely. It's one of the longest flights ever as well for LL. It was very hastily arranged within 48 hours of it actually happening. It was arranged with the Israeli embassy, LL, and the Australian embassy as well. First flight from Tel Aviv all the way to Melbourne landed last Thursday night Australian time. It took 16 hours and 24 minutes, and it carried 10 Australian Jews who were in Israel back to Australia. Of course, they had to be, and they're currently in 2 weeks of quarantine, but it's at a fairly nice place, the Crown Hotel.
Not bad.
Not too shabby.
No.
Of course, they have to wait 2 weeks to see their families and all that, and which will be tough, of course, but that's the way they have to do it. And then the plane stayed only about 6 or 7 hours on the tarmac, and its crew actually never got out of the plane at any time, and it flew back, took about 17 hours and 44 minutes back to Ben Gurion Airport, and on it were 280 Israelis who were stranded here in Australia and wanted to fly home. And you've got to remember that at this time there's very, very, very few flights going in and out of any countries, and this was a direct flight between the two countries. I think we understand for the first time ever, apart from one commercial flight that went to Perth about 10 days before between Israel and Perth. But that was a commercial flight, and this time it was a special operation, actually. It wasn't a commercial flight.
Like a chartered flight.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. So it was amazing, and we were lucky enough to get in touch with three of the Australians who were passengers coming back from Israel to Australia, and we spoke to them on the phone from their rooms in the Crown Hotel. One of them was 72-year-old Melburnian Irene Port. She was in a very interesting situation because this is actually not the first time she's in 14 days of quarantine. In Israel, where she was visiting her son David and his children, she actually went to a shul, and one person who attended the shul was suspected of coming into contact with someone who had the virus. So she actually had to self-quarantine in a house in Beit Shemesh all by herself, Ramat Beit Shemesh, for 2 weeks in Israel. And so this is the second time she's in quarantine. She said she got a call from her doctor in Melbourne the day before the flight took off, Israel time, and her doctor had heard about the LL flight and told her she had to make a very quick decision. So she got some help from the embassy, and she contacted LL, and she said, "Oh, it was definitely an amazing relief to be on board that flight." And for her, it wasn't a difficult decision. She said the ticket cost her, you know, more than $4,000, but she said she just knew she had to do it straight away. It was, and she is so relieved and expressed a lot of gratitude that it could, it actually was made possible in the first place. And just very quickly, there's two young teenagers, one from Melbourne and one from Sydney, also in quarantine at the Crown after the flight. Hadar Elisha was only 2 months into a one-year B'nai Akiva MTA Masa Israel program in Jerusalem. She'd finished year 12 at Beth Rivka College end of last year, and she was having a great time. And then, of course, things in Israel a couple of weeks ago got very, very, all the security measures and restrictions were put in, probably a week before they started in Australia, all these restrictions. She still thought, oh, maybe there's a chance things she could stay in, but she got a call at 7 a.m. on the day of the flight from her parents, and her parents were really worried and said, you know, you really have to decide in the next few minutes whether you want to be on the flight or not. And she had to think about it and just said, better go home, there might be not another chance. So she basically packed all the things and was in the airport a few hours later for the flight. And Lara Rutstein from Sydney, Emmanuel School Year 12 graduate from last year, she was on a five-month Aardvark Israel program in Tel Aviv. It's a very similar situation. Her thought process, she said, was, to try and hold on to hope of staying on, but then she had realized she had to make a decision straight away, and she said, I had to decide that it was a decision not just for myself, but I had to think about the impact on my family as well. And that persuaded her to pack her things and take the flight straight away. She sort of said she knew it was now or never, and she knows that everyone in her family is happy. She's home in Australia, and then in another 2 weeks, she'll be able to fly back from Melbourne to Sydney.
Shane, I would just like to remind our listeners that El Al was due to start commercial flights in April, and I know it was fully booked. People from commercial flights to Melbourne and back to Israel, from Melbourne and from Israel to Melbourne. And unfortunately, it never happened like that. And they had to charter fly just to rescue so-called Israelis out of Melbourne and bring Australians back to Australia. So let's hope for better times. And we'll see still commercial flights coming to Israel, direct flights. And we are talking to Shane Tziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. And you are listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, you've got a good story about a couple that had the virus. They probably thought they'll never get it because they are young, and they recovered.
Yeah, that's right. So this does show that although the most at-risk groups, people over 70, young people, there's cases of young people having the virus. Some of them are having it mild, and some of them are actually having it very serious. So this young, fit and happy couple, Jono Seidler, who's 32, and he was actually preparing to marry his fiancée, Karen Tal, last Sunday. But a couple had recently arrived back in Sydney from London, where they'd been living, and shortly afterwards, they were both diagnosed with the virus. Describing the symptoms as being kind of like the 10 plagues, Seidler remarked, "I felt like I was having a panic attack and couldn't breathe. Another night, it felt like I had shingles, and other times I had really, really bad headaches." His partner Tal's symptoms were milder, but she said she'd lost her smell and taste completely. So since his experience with the kind of harsher symptoms of it, Seidler has spoken out about stigma that he encountered having the virus. He said, "You feel somehow like a second-class citizen, and people are playing the folk game. They're asking, do you know how you got it? Do you know who gave it to you? When the question really should be, how can we help you and how can you help us?" The couple have tested negative now, and they hope to help others in need and also shift unhelpful societal attitudes. And of course, they still plan to finally get married when the pandemic has finished.
We are all waiting for the pandemic to finish. I'm sure a lot of our listeners had a very strange Passover, very different Passover Seder, all on their own, and some of them just the nuclear family, the parents, the children, and without the extended family this time. So let's wish all our listeners happy Passover, and let's hope for better times. And thank you so much, Shane.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.